Hi, this is a His Beloved Catholic podcast. We are so glad you're with us. We have a heart for drawing people, you, into the heart of the Father and His deep, immense love over you.
So we are two best friends who live across the street, and we have this podcast because we feel like the Lord is calling us, this entire Catholic Church, to revival. So you are here for our Advent series, and this is on the names of Jesus. And we just felt the Lord saying He wants to draw into deep intimacy during Advent so that on Christmas morning, you can run into His arms, knowing Him deeply, knowing His heart for you, getting rid of pain and shame and heartache, receiving healing and freedom from chains, and just get to celebrate the Christmas season with Him. Mm-hmm. We are so excited that you are here. There is a study that goes along with this. If you would like to purchase it, it's on our website, hisbelovedoftexas.com, and you can find that in the show notes. But more than anything, we just want you to let the Lord speak His love over you today.
Yeah. Come along for the ride.
Hello, friends. Welcome to our first real Advent podcast.
Yes.
Hi, Kendra.
Hi.
So today we're on Psalm 23. Actually, we're on the Good Shepherd, right?
Right.
Today, yes. Jesus is the Good Shepherd. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm doing really good. I just keep thinking of, so y'all, my mom is so wonderful. I love her so much. And she is always the one that we sent our papers to, even in college, to edit and punctuation. Okay. So we sent this to her. And in the midst of the crazy planning that she did to host a fabulous Thanksgiving for us all, she sat down and read all 37 pages of this study to edit it for us. And she wrote back, "What does OG mean?" Oh. So cute. Sorry. So beginning there, y'all read that yesterday.
The OG, Good Shepherd.
Good Shepherd, right? Y'all read that yesterday.
Y'all know OG, right? It means original gangsta. Like, am I the only one?
Yeah. That knows what that and means? The whole Coolio thing. Yeah, Megan. Coolio. Like, that's totally Megan.
As I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I take a look at my life. Yeah. Am I the only one? It took me actually like many years as a Catholic, like probably 10 or 12, to not hear that every time I read Psalm 23. It was like my only frame of reference to that scripture was Coolio.
Yeah.
Obviously, I was not raised in the church. So.
But you know what? Hey, He makes beauty from ashes. Yeah. There you go. Thanks, Coolio.
I know, right? Dangerous Minds. Did you watch that movie? Michelle Pfeiffer.
I think I did. Yes. Yes. That's a good one.
It was a good one. Anyways, okay. We're going to go deeper than that though. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
I know. That was really funny. Yeah. She actually put it as like a, like, edit this. Why did you
what
put OG?
What does OG mean? That's awesome. So I did explain it to her at Thanksgiving. She's like, okay, cool.
Yeah. All right, cool. All right. So
good job, Mom.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. She was amazing. All right. So let's go back. Yeah. Before we get to the Good Shepherd.
Yeah.
Why are we here? What are we doing? What is our life? So it's Advent. And so often Advent just kind of gets rolled into Christmas chaos and excitement. And we kind of forget that Advent is a season of waiting. Mm-hmm. And waiting is hard, but it's also kind of exciting.
Yeah.
Are you the kind of person that likes to wait for something? Like Ella says, she likes to always have something to look forward to. Mm-hmm. And I'm like that. Like, I like to think about this is coming up next.
Yeah.
And then like we've gone on like Disney cruises and things like that. And Ella cries at the end of everything because she's so sad that this thing that she's waited for, like the whole last day of both Disney cruises, she cried. So like this thing that she's waited for and hoped for is now gone.
Yeah.
And then there's like that big letdown.
Yeah.
But I think there's joy in waiting with hopeful expectation.
Yeah, I think so too. So for me, I have gone so far as to even in waiting for the different seasons coming, I feel like that's so shallow and surface level, but just the beauty of each season. And I think it's an external reality of what's internally the Lord is allowing us to do in our spiritual lives.
Yeah.
So we can see the changing of the seasons and the beauty that each one brings, even in winter, the slowing down, the cold, and then seeing new life come from that. But internally, as we're waiting for Christmas and for the coming of our Messiah, there's this internal reality that's taking place if we allow it to, because you're right, we can very well easily get caught up in all the to-dos, all the things, but this internal disposition of our hearts of really what is happening right now. Like, and not only that in today's world, but also linking that to, our people, our heritage. Like, you know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. the Israelites and all the people in the Old Testament and what they were anticipating, and to kind of trying to awaken a little bit of that within ourselves, mm-hmm. because we're straddling between recognizing what they're waiting for. We're living within the fulfillment of it, but mm-hmm. also awaiting.
Yeah.
What the do they final say? The second coming, right?
The what has come, what is coming, and what is to come, or something. Mm-hmm. I think I said that wrong, but it's like the yeah. past, the present, the future of like, that is what Advent is right. rolled into.
Yeah.
That Jesus, we're waiting for Jesus to come. We know that Jesus has come, and that we know that he will come again.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the in-between that we're in.
Yeah.
But I think it's hard sometimes if you've been raised this way, because it's all you've ever known. It's mm-hmm. all you've ever heard, is that, like, you know, we get so used to Jesus in the nativity scene, and we get so used to hearing the story of Mary and Joseph. And so, like, to take a minute and go back and think about Adam and Eve in the garden, mm-hmm. and think about the centuries of waiting that God's people did. Right. And the Israelites, they were a hopeful people, mm-hmm. to the point of, like, Jewish people are still waiting.
Yeah.
There's yeah. still a sense of longing for the Messiah to come,
right.
that they have not seen yet, which always makes me so sad, because I'm like, yeah. you guys, he's here. Yeah. So let's go back for a minute into the garden with Adam and Eve, and the beauty and the love that flowed through God to Adam and to Eve, and back and forth. And there was just this moments of, like, deep intimacy of walking with the Lord in the garden, of knowing him on the deepest level that any human being could ever be known, of being seen and without any blemish, without any pain, without any heartache. There was mm-hmm. no fear. There was no worry. There was no judgment. It was just peace.
There is no doubt of God's love.
No doubt of God's love. Like the yeah. just unimaginable, unfathomable love that God poured over them. They received it. Mm-hmm. There was no, like, separation between, like, God is pouring love, but we don't see it. We don't know. They knew mm-hmm. the depth in the heart, in their hearts. They knew. And then, of course, the serpent comes in and causes chaos and puts a seed of doubt in their minds, and they fall for the seed of doubt. And I always like to think of it as, like, he says, if you eat this apple, your eyes will be open and you'll be like God. And then their eyes were opened, because all of a sudden they saw this dark world that they didn't know existed before. Mm-hmm. And they saw pain and they saw shame. And so they saw all these things that they had been protected from by the great love of their father. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, the fall happens. And, but here's the part that I like to focus in on too, is immediately after this happens, God gives them a promise. And the promise is, the seed of the woman will crush the head of the serpent. And so that means, like, the baby of the woman, right? The seed of the woman. And so they assume that it's Eve's baby.
Right.
They're like, okay, a Messiah is coming who's going to crush the head of this serpent. And as I was telling the story just now, the Holy Spirit just said to me, the reason he sent the Messiah, the reason the Lord knew we needed a savior, is because he desired so deeply for us to have the same intimacy with him that Adam and Eve had. Mm. And the way that they were known and they were seen and they were loved and they received that love could not happen without Jesus. Mm-hmm. And he needed their hearts to be fully reconciled to him. And not just their hearts, he needed our hearts mm-hmm. to be fully reconciled to his beautiful heart. Mm-hmm. And we needed that Messiah to come in and to undo all that sin had done in the world. And if you go back and read Old Testament, like, there was a very grave price for sin. I mm-hmm. mean, the wages of sin is death.
Yeah.
And the only way for that to be cured was for this Messiah to come and die for us. So they're waiting for this Messiah, and it's thousands of years they wait for this Messiah, and they think, okay, well, it wasn't her son, so maybe it's her grandson, maybe mm-hmm. it's her great grandson, maybe it's her. And they, generation after generation after generation, they just hope and wait for the coming of his Messiah. And even in the story of Mary's life according to the mystics. Mm-hmm. She says in that book, oh, that I would just be able to kiss the feet of the woman who would bring the Messiah into the world.
Yeah.
Like even they were still waiting for this coming of this Messiah.
Yeah. Going back to Adam and Eve, just thinking about that moment, like the bite of the apple and the first thing that they felt, I would think would be just immediate division.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
And
cause the eye opening was not a good eye opening. It was a very bad eye opening.
Right. Yeah. It was that immediate division of them choosing themselves over God. And so like what Megan's talking about is this generation after generation of generation of clinging to the promise of the Messiah. But also the humanity of wanting to fix the wrong.
Yeah.
Right. So over and over and over, you see, covenants and burnt offerings and sacrifices over and over and over again, hoping it would mend it just a little bit.
Yeah. And it was never enough.
And it was never enough. Mm-hmm. It was never enough.
And it created a culture of doing.
Yes.
And striving and trying to be the best and trying to be perfect.
Mm-hmm. And earning God's
and
love.
Earning and, God's
his
love.
His attention. And,
And Adam and Eve never had to earn anything.
Right.
Like the real picture is that we just get to live in complete intimacy and identity and peace. It's not meant for striving, right? And so Jesus gives us the ability to do that. But the problem is we don't always receive all of that, right? Even though he's given everything for us, we're not fully in the garden, right? We're not fully in a place where we can live 100% in union with him, but he desires that for us. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of why, fully why, I guess, the Lord put this on our hearts to do this Advent study for you guys is because as we look at him day by day and all these different names of Jesus, we get to hear more about his character. Mm-hmm. We get to hear more about the way he loves us. And we get to put ourselves in that place of receiving his full love. Yeah. He's already offering it.
Right.
We just need to be better at opening our hearts, opening our hands, and receiving the way Adam and Eve would have in the garden.
Yeah. And getting past those walls that we've put up.
Right.
Of I'm not doing enough or I'm not good enough or I don't deserve his love.
Right? I saw a Instagram post by a Catholic artist that I follow and I like. And her post was it was a prayer hack. And I was like, prayer hack, that's a weird word. Because I don't think prayer should be a hack, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's not something to check off your list to get done, to like accomplish something. So, because to me a hack is like, what's a fast way to get something done, right? An easy way to skirt around what's hard and get it done. And I was like, that's weird. And then she goes on to say, I think it was like not the memorari. It was a Catholic prayer, one of them. And she was like, well, whenever I feel like I'm not enough and I feel like I'm Catholic guilt is taking over me, I pray this prayer. Mm-hmm. And it was her way of like for just a moment, stopping that feeling of I'm not enough. And I was just like, I wanted to write back and be like, honey, but that's not what prayer's about. Prayer's about intimacy. It's about connection. And it's not about being enough. It's about resting. And it's about like seeking the heart of Jesus and letting him love you. Mm-hmm. And of course it's beautiful to have some, you know, things that keep us connected to him, but and it just made my heart hurt a little bit for all the women who feel that way.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and with that, I think also just this, this deep, unshakable disposition of your heart of knowing whose you are and living in that identity. Not too long ago, I was going to have a very difficult conversation with someone, and my husband was a bit nervous for me, knowing that I was, you know, could go in and come out heartbroken, you know? Mm-hmm. And he was telling me his worries and fears, and I kind of surprised myself. But I looked at him and said, it's okay. I'm not his to hurt.
Ooh.
And I've been reflecting on that. Like, thank you, Jesus. I'm not his to hurt. Right.
Yeah.
And that's just a glimpse, I think. And I still have a lot of work in this area. So I'm not saying that like I've arrived, whatever.
Yeah.
But whose are you?
Right.
Right.
And when you know the heart of Jesus that deeply, then those feelings of, I have to be enough. I have to do enough. I have to check all the boxes. don't have as much weight anymore, because now it's like, no, I know what it feels like to look into the eyes of Jesus and mm-hmm. receive his love. Mm-hmm. That's my goal. That's my desire. It's not making sure I jump through a million hoops and be the best Catholic I can be. It's like, no, I want to know him.
Yeah.
And so that's why we're here. All right. So Jesus is a good shepherd.
Good shepherd. Mm-hmm. I love this. I love, love, love. Okay. So funny. So the image that Megan put up there.
Oh yeah.
On the Good Shepherd days, I had seen it, gosh, a couple months ago, and it just like knocked me to my butt. Like I was like, mm-hmm. oh my gosh, it's the most beautiful image I've ever seen. And then a couple of weeks later, we had our Longhorn that we've adopted. She's amazing. Shout out. She had it on her phone. I was like, Megan, we got to put this in there. It's beautiful. And she's like, well, I already did.
Yeah. It's already on. Well, I was so like, beautiful. Are you saying that? Cause you saw it or no,
she had not seen it.
She had no idea. How to put that on there. But I love that image of like mm-hmm. Jesus chasing down the sheep.
Yes.
I love that so much. Yeah. I so often feel like that sheep that he chased down and like fought for and was like, no, I'm taking you. Mm-hmm. Or I'm not letting you run away. I'm not letting you be lost forever. I'm mm-hmm. not letting you escape. So yeah, I love that
and
too.
The sheep is all muddy and
I know.
Gross. And he's just like,
yeah. So amazing. One of my favorite things, to do is to teach kids about the Good Shepherd. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to teach you guys the way I would teach kids because adults need to hear it too. So, I think it doesn't do us justice just to read about the Good Shepherd if we don't understand the life of a sheep.
Yeah.
So we have to think of ourselves as the sheep in order to understand why we need a shepherd. And so sheep are not smart. They are very dumb animals. Uh-huh. They are not self-sufficient in any way, form, or fashion. They cannot feed themselves. They cannot find water on their own. And so they have to be put in a place where there is food and there is water. And if they were to eat all of the grass in that area, they will not go off and find new food. Like my dog, he will find food. Yeah. If it kills him, like he will not die. That yeah. dog will find food anywhere he goes. He may eat it from the pantry. He may kill something in the backyard, but he will find
he
something
may
to eat.
Clothes. Who knows?
He'll eat balloons. Why, yes. why does my dog eat balloons? I do not know. He will find food.
Yeah.
Sheep will not find food.
That's crazy.
They will wander and wander until they die.
Man.
They don't. And they'll just go in circles yeah. in the area that they have been given uh-huh. by their shepherd. And they will not go elsewhere. So a shepherd has to take the flock of sheep to new food or they will not be able to survive. Of course they're not hunters, right? They also can't yeah. kill anything. They just only eat grass. They cannot protect themselves against anything. Mm-hmm. They're just sitting ducks all the time.
Poor little guys.
I know. And they're so sweet and snuggly too. So they need a shepherd to defend them from, you know, whatever terrible thing there is out there. And so, in, you know, these Bible times, there was a shepherd who would sit out and watch the flock all night long. David was a shepherd boy. Mm-hmm. That was his job, was to sit in the fields and watch the flock. And I love to tell this story too, of one time we went to my uncle's ranch. My uncle has sheepdogs. Mm-hmm. Sheepdogs protect sheep, right? And they nip at him and uh-huh. make sure they go where they're supposed to go and, you know, all that. I was always terrified of those stupid sheepdogs. They're the scariest things on the planet. But one time we went when I was an adult and I had a couple of kids, and we went and we stayed on this other piece of land that was kind of far away from his house on his ranch. And we're walking out there and we see this big like flock of sheep. And we're like, oh my gosh, they're so cute. And so we start walking towards the sheep, me and the girls. And as we're walking one direction from the other side where we can't see it, this massive donkey comes up and stares at us. And he is not happy. Oh. He is an angry donkey. And he like gives us this look, like uh-huh. get away. And we're like, oh, okay, sorry, donkey. And so we back up and we go around a different side of uh-huh. the trees to like come see the sheep again. And he's like magic and he's there and he stares at it. And we tried this like 3 or 4 times. The donkey would not let us get near the sheep.
How
he
funny.
Was not having it. He was a sheep donkey. That was his job. He was a donkey shepherd and his job was to,
shepherd. Oh
his job was to keep the sheep safe. And we were like a threat uh-huh. to his sheep and he was going to take us down uh-huh. if he needed to. And, but that's what they need. Like my uncle cannot put these sheep out on this yeah. ranch and just expect them to survive.
Yeah.
I also grew up with goats and sheep at my house. Uh-huh. And I know what happens when coyotes come in. It is not a pretty thing.
Ooh.
I know.
Ooh.
We did get to like take care of baby sheep and nurse
aww,
them and stuff.
That's
when
fun.
It was so fun. We like fed them with baby bottles and
oh my gosh.
I know.
That's cute.
It was a really sweet way to grow up. Sheep are just the cutest thing ever. So anyway, so sheep cannot feed themselves. They cannot protect themselves. They don't know when to lie down and when to rest.
What?
Yeah. So, and probably now they're a little bit better about this, but like back in those times when the sheep were the whole livelihood of the, you know, family,
yeah.
The shepherds would like care for them and make them lie down and make them rest and give them like peace in order to rest.
Hold up. Mind blown right now. Cause I'm just, this is funny. Okay. I was just thinking how I do not sit and rest enough in my day. Like I am like a stupid sheep just turning circles, looking for something else to pick up or to do around my house and blah, 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 blah. And I'm spinning in circles and I don't sit.
Yeah.
And I don't, and it's not just sitting for the sake of sitting. It's like my full body, mind, heart, soul,
resting.
Sit and rest.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So does Psalm 23 make more sense now?
Yes.
So they're, and I think they're always kind of on alert too, mm-hmm. right? Like they're always waiting for something dangerous to happen. So they don't have time to like just be still mm-hmm. unless they're in the care of a good shepherd who's keeping them safe. And then they can mm-hmm. rest, right? They don't have to always be on guard. Another thing is bugs fly around their ears and their eyes and they like would attack them. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've probably seen that like with cows and horses and stuff. Yeah. It's terrible. And so what the shepherd would do is pour oil over their head and massage it into their fur and onto their eyes to protect them from these, you know, little annoying things that are flying Aww. At them. So you anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. And I love that image of this shepherd just pouring oil over your head because it's like, it's a tangible way of saying all those things that fly around your head that cause you chaos, that get into your heart and into your mind.
Oh my
fears,
gosh.
Fears, worries, anxieties. Kendra's having a moment.
I am. I'm having so many moments.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
So the Lord.
I have so much stupid stuff buzzing around my head. I mean, worries.
If we were Israelites and we actually lived the way they lived, the Bible would make so much more sense to us.
Oh my gosh, it would. Seriously.
We miss so much of this rich understanding of like the symbolism that God is giving because we don't live in that culture. We don't know these things about sheep.
Right.
And you've probably read Psalm 23 thousands of times and never caught on to all these little
nuances.
Things.
Yeah.
So yeah, does that make it, mm-hmm. make it make more sense?
And keep preaching to me. Let's go.
So a sheep needs a shepherd.
Yeah.
And he needs a good shepherd. He can't have a dangerous shepherd, one who doesn't care. Mm-hmm. One who, you know, leaves him out in the field and doesn't come back for days because they won't survive. Mm-hmm. They literally will not survive without a shepherd to lead them. Mm-hmm. And so God is saying to us, you need a shepherd. Mm-hmm. Just like these sheep do. And you are not created to shepherd yourself. You are not created to face this world alone and to go out and try to fight your own battles, mm-hmm. to find your own sustenance, to think that you can live independently on your own is not the way you were created. You need me. And I want to be that for you.
Right.
Let me love you in that way. Mm-hmm. Let me care for your needs. Let me be the one who makes sure you have food on the table and that you're safe. Mm-hmm. That's pretty powerful. And, Psalm 23 was written by David, mm-hmm. King David, except for he's not king yet. And David was a shepherd boy. So he knows all these things, right? Yeah. This is what he did before the Lord came and chose him to be the next king. And I love this story because David is talking about the goodness of God. Mm-hmm. He's talking about the gentleness of God and the protection. And you set a table before me in front of my enemies. And he's like, and all, you know, mercy and goodness will follow me all the days of my life. Like these are happy, happy things. Like
right.
God is so good. Life is wonderful. I am loving life. But that is not his story.
Yeah.
And when he wrote this psalm, he was actually being hunted for his life. There was an army chasing him to murder him. And he's hiding in a cave from Saul and Saul's army. And as he's hiding in the cave, full of fear, I mean, can you imagine mm-hmm. the heartbreak, the terror, the chaos that was in his mind? Yet God is so near to him that he doesn't say to him, I'm terrified, I'm going to die. Where have you been? Why did you leave me? He says, you are so good to me. You mm-hmm. anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. This is the relationship of somebody who trusts his shepherd.
Yeah.
Even when everything feels chaotic,
Fully surrendered to his shepherd.
Surrendered to his shepherd. I mean, well, that's also how he took down Goliath, right? Mm-hmm. There was no reason he should have been able to take down Goliath. But what does he say? They say, you don't know how big Goliath is. And he says, well, he doesn't know how big my God is. Like he had full understanding of the power of God. Mm-hmm. And he trusted in it. Now, obviously, he made some mistakes later on in life, yada, yada, yada. But during this moment, he did a really good job of trusting in him. So so it's one of my favorites. And where'd it go? I have the Passion translation of it. And I just read this right before we started. So I want to share some of this with you guys. So it's going to sound a little different because this is the Passion translation. So just kind of like think about what you prayed with yesterday. And then kind of match it in your mind.
And to explain what the Passion Translation is, it's not a literal word for word translation mm-hmm. like our Bibles are. Passion Translation takes the meaning of the sentence and translates it to where kind of the heart of the message mm-hmm. is true and dominant.
Right. Because sometimes when they would go through different languages and different translations, mm-hmm. things would get lost mm-hmm. if we do word for word. And so this is more of a meaning translation. And so it kind of speaks to your heart a little bit in a different way.
Yeah.
So, okay. Yahweh is my best friend and my shepherd. I always have more than enough. He offers a resting place for me in his luxurious love. His tracks take me to an oasis of peace near the quiet brook of bliss. That's where he restores and revives my life. He opens before me the right path and leads me along in his footsteps of righteousness so that I can bring honor to his name. Even when your path takes me through the valley of deepest darkness, fear will never conquer me, for you already have. Ooh. Your authority is my strength and my peace. The comfort of your love takes away my fear. I'll never be lonely, for you are near. You become my delicious feast, even when my enemies dare to fight. Ooh, you are my feast when the enemies dare to fight. I've never heard it said that way. Mm-hmm. I always just pictured this like beautiful banquet table.
Yeah.
And the enemies are coming and you're like, ha 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 ha, you can't get me. That's right. How I read it. Maybe that's not biblical, but that's how I read it. You anoint my head with the fragrance of your Holy Spirit. You give me all I can drink of you until my cup overflows. So why would I fear the future? Why would I fear the future? Only goodness and tender love pursue me all the days of my life. Then afterward, when my life is through, I'll return to your glorious presence to be forever with you.
And just think about all this time he's sitting in a cave.
Yeah.
Hiding from Saul, who's hunting him down.
Yeah. That's a love song mm-hmm. of a man who knows the heart of God. Mm-hmm. He knows. I just kind of like this prayer I have for myself and for anyone listening and for anybody we come in contact with is like that we would just know. We would know his love more. Mm-hmm. We would understand his love more. Mm-hmm. We would be able to receive it just like a little bit more every day. Like the way that David understood it, like that we would just know a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Because I think it's too much for us to receive all at once. I think if we really knew, it would blow our little human minds.
Yeah.
But just like to keep praying, Lord, like show me more of your face. Show me more of your love. Help me to receive more of your love every single day.
And as we sit here and allow this to sink in, and wrestle with much of this, we get to go and sit before our Lord who is fully present in a tabernacle. Mm-hmm. We get to, in adoration, we get to go receive him in the Eucharist, right?
Yeah.
So we get to mull over these things in his full true presence, the fulfillment.
Yeah. He's not hidden.
Right.
He's not some faraway God. Yeah. He's right there in front of us and we get to really, really experience him if we allow ourselves to. Okay. So that's just one Good Shepherd story. Mm-hmm. There's so many. And of course that was written before Jesus. But there's so much of the Old Testament that like, you know, points towards him and his nature and his character. And so, as I said earlier, one of the other ones that I love is that he leaves the 99 for the one.
Yeah.
Shepherds don't do that.
Yeah.
So when I was talking about, you know, all the things that shepherds do and shepherds don't do, you don't leave your entire livelihood, 99 sheep mm-hmm. to be killed so that you can go find one.
Right.
You don't do that.
Right.
they have to hedge their bets. You know, if that one got lost, I don't have time to go chase it down, but that's not who he is.
Yeah.
And of course he's not leaving the other 99 to like falter, but like, he's going to chase down the one because every single heart matters to him. Mm-hmm. Every single heart is his and every single heart is worth fighting for. Mm-hmm. And, I love the lines of like reckless love is like, there's no mountain he won't climb up, no shadow he won't light up, like no wall he won't break down. That is who he is. Like that is mm-hmm. how deeply he loves us and how deeply he wants to be in relationship with us. And I know that from experience. Like, I think it's hard sometimes to think about this, but I have lived it. Like I 100% know what it feels like. Mm-hmm. So if you're in a place right now where someone you know is lost, especially if it's a child, mm-hmm. I hear so often from adult women whose children have gone astray.
Yeah.
God's not done with him yet. Yeah. God's not done with her yet. He is chasing down mm-hmm. the one that you love, mm-hmm. trying to bring him right back to his heart. Mm-hmm. And if you're the one he's chasing down, hallelujah, say yes.
Right? Just turn around.
Just turn around. All you have to do is turn around and he's right there just waiting.
Yeah.
So patiently for you.
Powerful.
So, and then I love the image too of like, once he gets to the sheep, he hoists the sheep up on his shoulders mm-hmm. and carries him back to the flock. There's not a reprimand. There's not a, what have you done? It's almost like a place of like royalty. Like mm-hmm. you're the one that matters the most right now.
Yeah. Yeah. And I heard somewhere also that they carry the sheep on their shoulders for like a while.
Oh, to help acclimate, right? Uh-huh. Is that part of it? It's like in order to bring you back into the fold. Yeah. I have heard that too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like that intimacy.
Right.
Yeah. It all goes back to like heart to heart intimacy, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks, Megan.
Yeah. Is it good? Ooh.
Yes.
I feel loved. So I want you guys to think about like, especially with Psalm 23, what was the there's a lot of different facets to it, right? There's like this trust in the Lord. There mm-hmm. is a full surrender of God and his like ability to fight for you. Oh, the other thing is it talks about the rod and the staff. Mm-hmm. A rod and a staff is what they use to fight off lions. Mm-hmm. A rod with his rod and his staff, he comforts me. No, he beats lions on the head with that thing to keep you safe.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So he is fighting for you. That's what that scripture actually says, that like he's fighting for you so that you can have safety. And so I kind of picture like all of Psalm 23 is almost like God with this like force field around our lives and mm-hmm. saying like, you get to just be this little sheep on the ground because I'm caring for all this other stuff.
Yeah.
I'm bearing the weight of the world on my shoulders so that you don't have to. Mm-hmm. You can just follow me step by step, follow the footsteps that I'm going in mm-hmm. so that you can do exactly what I'm calling you to and live with peace.
Yeah.
Obviously it's a little harder said, you know, easier said than done.
Right.
But gives a little bit of comfort.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So think about that scripture. So what is it that stands out most to you? Is it the surrender piece? Is it the fact that he's fighting for you? Is it the fact that he desires for you to have rest? Mm-hmm. And he's saying, it's okay. It's okay to lay down by still waters mm-hmm. and let me restore your soul.
It's okay to say no.
Yeah. It's okay to say no. Mm-hmm. Like he desires restoration mm-hmm. for all of us. He desires our hearts to be fully restored to him and to, you know, to be able to live with freedom and with joy and not with pain. So is he asking you into some healing? So just kind of think about like, where is the Lord calling you? Mm-hmm. Is he just asking you to receive some of his peace and to not have so much anxiety and fear and worry? And everybody's answer is going to be different. That's what I think is so cool about the way that the Lord has invited us to write these journal entries. No two people are going to have the same experience from this.
Right, right, yeah.
Because he's going to speak to your heart.
Yeah. And he's giving you a chance for you to speak to his as well.
Yeah. Yeah. He wants to hear from you. And then he's going to like just give you guidance and wisdom and love and you get to receive it.
Right. So know that we're praying for y'all and we are praying this right alongside you guys. Mm-hmm. Literally we wrote this rather quickly. And afterwards I was like, I can't wait to do this.
I know.
You know,
we looked back at it and we're like, whoa, who wrote that?
Yeah. Yeah. So just know that we're on the journey with y'all.
Definitely.
And praying for y'all as well as you journey through this. And I'm just so excited. I just know that God is working in your life and in your heart. And so that just deeply excites me for what you're going to get to experience these next couple of weeks leading up to Christmas Day. So,
oh, I'm excited for you too. And if you don't yet have the little journal that goes along with it, they're still on our website. You can go ahead and download it like right now and have it in your little hand. If you already have another devotion that you're doing and you don't have time to do all of the things with us, that's okay. Stick around.
Yeah.
Listen to our episodes. You'll still be fed. Just letting the words of the Lord pour over you and, you know, diving into the different scripture names of him in scripture. So please don't leave the podcast just because you already, because you're not doing the daily devotional. We still want you to be a part of what we're doing.
Yeah, for sure.
Awesome. So, and share it with a friend. Yeah. Oh, the other thing I wanted to say, I had somebody reach out to me over the weekend who's a teacher and she said she wanted to do this with her class.
Oh, wow.
And she teaches kindergarten, but she was also talking about middle schoolers. Uh-huh. And it got me thinking, yeah, this totally could be a family thing. Obviously, a lot of this you're going to want to do individually, but there's no reason why you can't talk to your kids about the names of Jesus while you're learning about the names of Jesus.
Right.
And so invite them into this too.
Yeah.
And spend time during Advent talking about who is Jesus as your good shepherd.
Yeah.
Who is Jesus as, you know, all these different pieces, because kids love that.
Right.
They'll get so much out of it.
That's awesome. Yeah, yeah. That's a great idea.
Cool.
All right.
All right. Well, we will see you in just a couple of days.
Yeah.
And actually what we're going to do is we're going to release our activations as well. So an activation will release tomorrow. So you can either read it in your journal or you can just listen to us read it over you so that you can have a little more time to be in a place of imaginative prayer. Mm-hmm. So that will happen tomorrow too.
Yeah.
All right. Bye. Bye. Thank you for joining us today, friends. We are so excited to do this study with you, to hear about the way the Lord is speaking to you. And if you have the Lord moving in your heart, let us know. And make sure to join us tomorrow when the activation drops, and we'll see you soon.